If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Thunder Chats here, coming to you with our presenting sponsor once again, betonline.ag. It is your number one source for all of your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. Basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, right to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BLEAV, that is capital letters BLEAV, BELIEVE, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Huntzinger at Thunder Chats. We are part of the BLEAV Network, and this podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag. We have a very special episode today. We have some returning guests. I think this is like collectively the third time on the show. But before I get to them, I do got to get to my co-host, the one, the only, the Alejandro, Alex Roig. What's up, Alex?
What's up, man? I'm excited to get this Draft Jack / Topic Thunder collab going tonight. And you know, we're into that season where every workout video makes you think that this guy is going to be great. And so it's good to have these guys on to kind of help us parse through that and help guide us to which prospect is really good and which prospect is just showing a highlight reel that's been sliced and edited.
Absolutely. And without further ado, let's get into it. So joining us today are one of the most creative and impressive tandems in all of draft coverage. One got to witness a playoff run and new life breathed into his New York Knicks franchise, while the other is a Chicago Bulls fan. They are founding members of the new No Ceilings Collective and are unafraid of battle group think in their evaluation. They're so high on some controversial dudes, you might think they were on Quaaludes. Based on our own insider trading, we recommend that you buy into what these blue chip draft analysts are selling because their stock is trending way up. Ladies and gentlemen, the self-proclaimed Wolves of Ball Street, the co-host of the Draft App podcast, your favorite draft analyst, please welcome Corey Tullible and Albert Gim.
Let's go. That was awesome.
That was a lot of words there. I started tripping over myself. Guys, always a pleasure. Always a blast to have you on. I'm so excited to talk shop. You know, not as many prospects that we can touch on as we did, you know, the last few guests, but it's all right. Like we were discussing, there's a lot of value and a lot to be excited for in this draft. And I'm excited to talk to you guys about it because you guys got some guys that, you know, a lot of people have questions about pretty high. So, hey, without further ado, let's kind of get into this. You know, as I mentioned, top of the draft, we're not there this year. All right, we're at number 12. So we're not going to be talking about your Victor Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson. Everybody knows they're good at basketball. Let's move on. We are at the 12th spot. So before we get to the 12th spot, I just want to ask if you were going to just have your pick of any player in this draft. It could be, let's calm down. Okay, not top three. That's how I did it before. No Victor Wembanyama, no Scoot, no Brandon Miller. Any player in this draft that would be a tailor-made fit for the Thunder, who would it be? And I'm going to start with Albert. I want to start with Garbage Time Gim.
Ooh, okay. Well, first off, I have to say that intro was incredible. I'm going to make sure to cut that audio and just play that every single morning.
I might make that our intro.
I need it. I need it. I love it.
I mean, it was incredible. I feel incredible. I feel incredible about myself. I feel incredible about life.
There we go,
baby. But to answer your question, I think for me, if it's not one of those top three guys, it's a guy that I think should be in the top three conversation. We did a mock draft this week and I took him number three. His name is Jairus Walker. He's a guy that I absolutely love, that I think deserves to be in that conversation. It's great that I'm on this pod with Corey, because Corey will definitely agree with me in saying that Jairus Walker deserves to be in that conversation. And for your listeners out there who maybe aren't as familiar with who Jairus Walker is he is incredible at basketball. He's a 6'8", gigantic, humongous human being that's really, really strong, that's really gifted, that's really talented, that has incredible skills. He has a tight handle. He's got wiggle. He's got shake. He can pass the rock. He's a guy that in high school, if you go back and watch some of his playmaking, was incredible. On the defensive side of the ball, I've heard on the internet some people critique his defense. And I'm like, well, if you're going to critique his defense, maybe watch rugby or something, because Jairus Walker is a stud defender who can guard 1-5. So I want to start there. I'll let Corey take over. But Jairus Walker would be my pick outside of the top three guys.
Yeah, when we were talking off air before the mock draft, you know, I brought up, I was like, I mean, there's a lot of talk about Brandon Miller, how he should be in the conversation for number two. And I was like, if Brandon Miller is going to be in the conversation, you know, if you're not going to go the conventional route towards Scoot, why can't Jairus Walker be in the conversation for number two? Do I think he's going to be? I do not. But when you're talking tailor-made for the Oklahoma City Thunder's needs, yeah. I mean, one, 6'8", 7'2½ wingspan with all of the skills Albert said, but just thinking about him as a front court partner for Chet Holmgren is what dreams are made of. And let's just say I have it on good authority that if that scenario were to present itself, I think it would be likely. So, and granted, I don't think Jairus is falling to the Oklahoma City Thunder at 12, but crazier things have happened. Yes. But there's a lot of reasons to be a fan of his game, because
putting it out there right now, Jairus Walker had surgery to extend his height. Just put it out there right now. Put it out to all the other teams, all the other GMs. Let's get this man down to 12.
Gotta push the controversy. I love him, man. Yeah, I mean, it feels like Jairus Walker is like very loved by everybody in the No Ceilings community. It feels like that's like your all's like darling prospect, even starting like at the beginning of the year. Like I had Metcalf and Recker on like before the season started, and I asked the same question, and Metcalf was like, no hesitation, Jairus Walker. So I like that, you know, the fact that you guys are all consistent about it, because you guys all have like, you know, very different views in terms of like where you rank prospects. The fact that that's a consistency tells me everything I need to know. So I love it. Well, let's get into some more like realistic targets. You know, Jace Walker could definitely be a trade up target, and we could talk trade up later on. But right now, you know, like I said, we're at the 12th spot. There's a wide variety of prospects that can go in that range. Just kind of looking at, you know, where you guys have, you know, them on your board, where you have seen them in mocks, where you've mocked them at. Who's some prospects in that range that you like the most for the Thunder? I started with Albert first. So we'll go to Corey here.
So guys that I like in the Thunder's range, I'm a big Bryce Sensabaugh guy. I think that he's a guy that I would think the Thunder would have interest in. You know, I think with him, you know, he sometimes, and Albert made this great point on a pod recently. We look at big boards, we look at mock drafts, we get so anchored in our beliefs, but oftentimes, you know, when we talk to people behind the scenes, you know, there are a lot of conversations that aren't just not happening on the internet, that are happening with people who are actual decision makers within the league. And I think the league at large is going to be a lot higher on Bryce Sensabaugh than what the general, you know, internet consensus is saying. Now, with that said, there are a number of sites that have Sensabaugh in that range, but you know, when you look at a guy who is very long, he's strong as all hell, you know, in a lot of ways, he's reminiscent body wise, thicker for sure. He's getting better shape. But I think when you look at dimensionally, you know, Jalen Williams, you know, you could see some of the parallels there with him, but 48, 40, 82 shooting splits as a freshman, 27 points per 40 minutes, 40 points per 100. I mean, just an absolutely insane offensive weapon who, in my opinion, has some of the most advanced skill that I think I maybe have ever seen from, you know, a freshman prospect. The footwork. I think he's the evolutionary DeMar DeRozan. I think there's a little bit of Devin Booker to his game. And when I look at the playoffs, and I see what players are thriving in the playoffs, you know, yes, it's nice to jump out of the gym like Amen Thompson, but how many of those guys are the, you know, first, second option on the teams that are remaining? Not a lot, right? You know, like you truly need to be an outlier athletic specimen like Giannis or, you know, maybe Anthony Davis or something, for that to happen. But Bryce Sensabaugh is a guy that I think is going to undoubtedly be an offensive weapon in the league. And he's a guy whose game I think fits perfectly in the modern NBA. And I think multi-ball handler system, on or off the ball, Bryce Sensabaugh is a guy that I think would be a really, really great target in that range.
What are the drawbacks on Sensabaugh? Is it the injury history? Is it the defensive stuff?
Yeah, for me, I'm not really worried about the defensive stuff. I think he's good on the ball. It's controversial, but I actually believe that he's a good on-ball defender who's going to be able to guard up because he's so strong. And a lot of the deficiencies where you might see him, you know, struggle against a quicker guy, like when he's guarding, you know, threes or even fours, I think he's going to mitigate a lot of that. Off-ball, I didn't think he was nearly as bad as other people are going to make him out to be. But, you know, that's not to excuse his defensive lapses that he most certainly has, which a lot of guys who are 19 years old tend to do in college. Also, Ohio State, not really a great track record of defense from the backcourt over, you know, the last few years. So, but yeah, the injury history, you know, he's had a few knee surgeries. So there's definitely something to that. I think him getting in better shape, he looks to be in better shape. We love draft season pictures, right? We love the beach shots. I think, you know, shedding some of that weight is probably better for his knees. So I'd say that I actually think that he's shown some playmaking ability. You know, he had a really high usage. So, you know, the assist numbers aren't necessarily there, but he also only played 24 minutes a game. So, you know, the assist numbers aren't going to be as high as, you know, they look a lot more normal in comparison to his peers if he was playing that 31, 32 minutes like some of the guys. You know, but he wasn't expected to come in and be the best player on the team. You know, he was not a top recruit like, you know, a Brandon Miller or a Keontae George or a Nick Smith. Like, he wasn't ranked like that. So his role expanded gradually. So for me, it would definitely, I definitely think you should have a little bit of concern with the knees. But and the defense, where I think it'll be fine. He'll figure it out at the next level. I think he's shown enough for me personally to believe that.
Okay.
He almost sounds like hear me out. Don't get too mad. He almost sounds like Deion Waiters fully realized.
I think he's way more skilled, honestly. Like Deion Waiters was I guess fully realized. One, I think he's got better size, just like height wise. I think he's like stronger than Deion. Deion was a strong guy, but I feel like, you know, he was stronger. It's just he's just so much more skilled, honestly. Like I think he's just so much more skilled. Like his footwork is bananas. It's absolutely bananas. And the efficiency, he's not a heat check guy. He's a real deal. He's got an argument for best shooter in the class. Yeah. You know?
All right. You're making some points that I haven't heard before. So I like it, man. Albert, same question to you, man. Who do you like kind of mocked in that range, run your big board in that range for the Thunder?
I think you guys just saw it firsthand. But for our listeners out there as well, anytime Corey starts talking about Bryce Sensabaugh, get out of the way.
Let me cook.
Let him cook.
Let him cook. You know, hey, get out. Let him do his thing. I think Sensabaugh's a great option. We just did a pod this week that released this morning, actually, on Keyonte George. And I think Keyonte George is a name that, if you don't know who he is a name that you need to get familiarized with. Because like Bryce Sensabaugh, Keyonte George during draft season right now looks like he's in incredible shape. And as we did our pod on Keyonte George, one of the critiques that we had about him was, hey, man, you know, he was a little fluffy this season. There were some times where he would get fatigued, a little tired during games, and he needs to get in a little bit better shape. Seeing the shape that he's in right now, and that people are reporting that his weight is down like almost 20 pounds right now, which is incredible stuff. But the thing with Keyonte George that I think makes him a great fit is a lot of the stuff that Corey talked about as well. Keyonte George is an incredible shooter, a guy who is going to be able to play on ball and off ball, but predominantly off ball, I think, to come in. And he's going to shoot the lights out of the ball. He was great shooting off the catch last season, even though his efficiency numbers across the board weren't as good as Bryce Sensabaugh. But he was able to show that he's a tough shot taker and a tough shot maker as well, a guy that also struggled with some injuries this season. So him being fully healthy with good ankles, in better shape, that video that they posted of him in a solo workout at the combine was electric stuff. And I think that's the version of Keyonte George that we're going to see in the NBA. And even with him having, you know, a couple extra pounds and diminished health during college, he was able to show some incredible shot making. And, you know, during our pod, we went over the fact that he's also a really underrated passer. That was something that we were really surprised by, actually, because we did a preseason pod on Keyonte, and he really, we thought he'd be like, you know, a good connector. A guy can make the single read, easy pass, but he showed more than that during his freshman season, which we weren't expecting. And then on the defensive side of the ball, he was a guy who, he's a dog. He's an absolute dog on defense. And with him being in better shape and healthy or whatever, he's going to look that much better defensively. He's really good on ball, has good length, really good strength. His frame just looks like he's going to be able to add a ton more muscle moving forward as well. Some comps that Corey threw out there were like Anfernee Simons, Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray. I threw in Bradley Beal as well. So if you're talking about a guy potentially of that caliber being available to you guys at 12, you should really consider taking that guy.
Yeah. And so how tall is he? He's like listed as like 6'4". Yeah. And I remember I listened to your all spot today, and you talked about how, like, you know, it's the height doesn't tell the story of his size, because he is like so strong and plays so physically. And that's something that Presti and Degnault have both like voiced, you know, after the season, that they're putting emphasis on physicality, whether it be on the defensive end, offensive end, whatever. Like, they're looking for physical play. So he fits the mold in that. I want to ask you this, you know, not like taking, you know, like what Alex said about Deion Waiters. You know, we're not saying this is like a, you know, one for one comparison, just kind of like, we're just trying to connect them to players that Thunder fans know, so they can get an idea of their differences. How does Keyonte George compared to Trey Mann coming out?
Well, Trey, Corey, we liked Trey Mann a lot, right?
We like Trey. Yeah. I think the major difference is I think that Keyonte is very much so more comfortable as an off-ball guy. I just like the way that he runs off of, like, you know, floppy actions, you know, down screens, pin downs, you know, all that kind of stuff is like he's been doing this forever. It's not a learned skill. There's just something natural about it. And his footwork in doing so is just so damn impressive. And I think when we talked about Keyonte, one of the reasons that Albert and I are still, I think, higher than consensus on him is because we're picturing him in the context of playing with guys who are going to get him the ball in spots. What better player in the league, you know, to get him the ball where he likes it off those kind of actions than Josh Giddey, who is going to place the ball perfectly at the right time. I mean, I think that pair, and especially he's smaller height wise, but he's also not, you know, like we said, he's not small, but the Thunder have so many jumbo guys that he can be a little bit smaller. And you're still going to have good positional size out on the floor. The difference between Trey Mann is I think he's just so much more comfortable off the ball. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and also really quickly, like I think piggybacking off with what Corey just said, like I mentioned on the pod, he may be characterized as a small guard, but he's not a small guard. Yeah, no.
And he doesn't look small on the court.
Exactly. He looks big. He's strong as hell. And I can't emphasize enough, like we talked about on the pod too, his lower half strength is awesome too. And I really want to emphasize that, like, and that lower half really enables him to shoot off movement, to shoot off balance, and to find balance. Okay, so let me calm down because I freaking love him so much. I just did a bot on him. But
I love it, man.
I get what you're saying, right? Like, I understand the inspiration in, you know, bringing up a guy like Trey Mann. But like Corey said, I do think there is a small difference, but I could totally get why you thought of him. Yeah.
Yeah, and I say it just because of, like, you know, kind of the archetype, but right. Like, you know, whether it's Keyonte George, Casey Wallace, Kobe Buffett, you know, if we bring in a guard instead of a wing, like, that's the spot that they're going to be looking to take is Trey Mann's spot. So, I mean, you know, just like on the court, like, and I'm not saying I give up on Trey Mann in year three. Like, don't get it twisted. You know, he had a rough year last year, but we saw some legit flashes his rookie year. So, I'm just saying, like, he's the guy that's going to put the fire to Trey Mann's feet, you know, if we bring a guy in like that. And the fact that he could play off ball is huge for us because we have so many guys that handle the ball. So yeah, I'm going to have to vault him up my board, man. I think I had him at 14, but I'm going to have to shoot that man up. I want to stay here a little bit. So obviously you guys have to sell me this pin because, you know, Wolf of Wall Street and everything. You guys have a couple other prospects that are kind of controversial in Thunder ranks. So I'm going to give you your chance to kind of sell this pin. This one Rucker recommended. So that Corey, I'm going to go to you. It could be directed to Albert. I'm not sure, but this is a guy that Alex has been high on since last year. I have apparently surpassed him in how high I am right now. Leonard Miller. How you guys feel about Leonard Miller on this OKC team?
Corey, before you go, I actually,
you can take it.
You sent us the outline before and the sell me the pen, me this pen part. I literally wrote in my notes, Leonard Miller. So I'm ready to rock.
Albert's ready. I like it.
Corey, I'll go first. I'm not going to mince words here. I don't think he's good. I actually don't think.
Pod's over. Pod's over. Hey, thanks for coming on, guys. Last time you're coming on.
I get it, guys. Like, I don't want to. I totally understand where you're coming from. We have guys at our website. Nathan just tweeted earlier today that he's moved Leonard Miller all the way up to 16 on his board. I'm in the process of dropping Leonard Miller even more right now after more conversations this week with people that I truly respect whose opinions I really respect. And to give you an idea of why I feel the way that I do, first off, aesthetically, when he runs around the court, he looks like a Pez dispenser because he's so straightforward. I don't get it. But I want to start there. I think the way that people are characterizing his game and his future role in the NBA is really interesting. And we had a really good conversation, even in our group chat amongst No Ceilings, because we have a lot of guys that love him. And I'm really, really, I don't want to say I'm hard out at him. I think the range that I'd like to keep Leonard Miller is if I have an extra pick late first round, early second round, I've got no problem with that. To speak to Leonard Miller's strength, he's what, 6'10", big guy, right? Good length to him. He works really hard. He's a guy that was awesome on the offensive boards this year, a guy that I think had showed development, right? He got better. My issue with him is I don't think he can shoot a basketball is number one. Mm-hmm. I think the jump shot is broken. I think he absolutely has to rework the jump shot. From the first quarter to the third quarter, his jump shot could look different. From his first to the third shot, his jump shot can look different. It's something he really, really needs to work on. I think his handle, I think the fact that he has potential to be a guy who can handle the ball is nice, but I don't think he's a good handler of the ball yet, although people may think otherwise. Just overall, I think he's got a long way to go. I think the best way I can put it is right now, he's not good at basketball, right? Potentially later on, can he get better? Absolutely. But I'd like to say I believe he's absolutely a four. I don't think he's a wing. I don't think he's a three. I think he has to be a four. He has to bulk up. And if he continues to play hard, he continues to crash the board as a backup four, I think he's awesome. I think he's going to be really, really good. But to take him in the lottery, late lottery, or early, like late teens, that's way too rich for me, is what I'd say. Mm-hmm.
I respect him. But Corey, are you echoing these sentiments?
Here's what I'll say. I think OKC is probably the only team in the lottery where Leonard Miller makes sense as a potential starting level player. With that said, if I'm going to say that a player is only a potential starter on one team that's in the lottery, I don't think super highly of the upside there. There are a lot of things about Leonard Miller that I think are positives. His rebounding, his motor, it's relentless. I love that. I do think he's got a little herky-jerky dribble and ball handling to him that is interesting, is probably the way I would describe it. Mm-hmm. I think that he's still light years away from being a guy I trust to make plays, but I do think he has some potential. He shows some flashes of that. Not a buyer of the shot in the slightest. But here's what I'll say. When you have a guy like Chet, it unlocks a lot of options for you. Mm-hmm. And Leonard Miller's a guy who I want around the basket. I want his motor. I want that kind of relentlessness around the basket. I want him to rim run, you know, almost serve as like a center in a lot of ways, offensively. And then defensively, you know, I don't think that he's going to be, you know, a great switchable defender on like smaller guys, but I think he'll survive on fours. Here's what I'll say. I think his absolute best case, and I don't think not his best case, because I don't think he can reach this peak, but like, the type of player that Julius Randle was in New Orleans is maybe his peak for me. And it's like, that's a good guy. Like Albert said, like off the bench in New Orleans, like that's a valuable guy who could do a lot of interesting things as a starter. It only takes you so far. If you're getting like the Pelicans, maybe last year, Nick version, where it's like, this guy's really frustrating. He's not super modern of a player. And he can't really play the five because he doesn't protect the rim. So even with his physical tools, 7'2 wingspan, 6'10 height, all that, like, can he survive banging down low? All that? Sure. So can Julius Randle. But you need a guy who's going to be able to be like an intimidator down there. And the fact that he doesn't really do that, and I don't really foresee it just based on the way he plays, it leaves me a little bit lower on his potential. But like I said, if we're talking Leonard Miller fitting on Oklahoma City, I think he does fit. Would I use that lottery pick on him? Mm-hmm. I think that if you use it on him, you're just tossing it in the garbage, because I think there are going to be significantly better players. Not to say that he's garbage, but here's the thing. The Thunder have a treasure trove of assets. Mm-hmm. So if Leonard Miller is your guy, maybe you use one of those assets and you try to get a second pick in the first round. But there is just, for me, that value for OKC doesn't start till minimum pick 20. I think you know, the fact that he was initially on the combine scrimmage roster at all is something that should be like, maybe the internet's a little bit higher on Leonard Miller than the general consensus of teams, because he just spent an entire season in the G League. It's not like he's an unknown. NBA teams know what he looks like. He shouldn't be a guy who had to have even been listed on those combine rosters. The fact that he actually pulled out and withdrew and didn't play means that he probably got great feedback from at least one team, or maybe two teams in a range. So ultimately I'm not buying lottery hype. I think this is the time of the year where we get bored and we just want to start doing some stuff, because that G League season's been over for a while. So can't see why that hype would build all of a sudden, but there are tools there. For me, that's just a little rich.
He sounds a little bit like Montrezl Harrell. He sounds like a little bit. And again, you don't want to waste the number 12 pick on him. But that said, as much as I like him, as much as I champion him, I did not have him in my top 14. So Dylan, you go ahead and flex that all you want, but that's a weird flex at this moment. So
yeah. I'll tell you what it was, and it's like, you know, I inhale so much draft content. Like I think it clouds my judgment a little bit because I'm hearing so many from different sides. Sam Vecenie's been really high on him here recently. And like, I really value, you know, Sam Vecenie's opinion. Like, you know, he's been doing it for years. Like, you know, he's, you know, he knows what he's doing. So I don't know. I guess like he convinced me, but you know, it was just like a fleeting moment because I was very against Leonard Miller. I hammed Alex for it for a whole 365 days. And, you know, it was just like one like little blurb in a podcast from Sam Vecenie. I was like, I'm hooked. I'm on him. So
you get it. It's fine. We could be wrong. We could be wrong.
Yeah, I could be Max, wrong.
Maxwell and Nathan love him. He's a friend of the program.
He's a quick learner.
He's made strides.
He's made huge strides. And again, like you said, if he comes to Oklahoma City, you know, we do have the premier shooting coach of the NBA in Chip England.
You do.
You know, so that could be something that, hey, could help him out. It can unlock things in his game. Again, I'm not necessarily going for him at 12, but like you said, if we can get a pick at 16, 17, 18, somewhere 20 in that range, hey, go right ahead.
Yeah, worth it. I just think there's going to be value on the board that could actually help Oklahoma City. Or if there's not, and like Leonard Miller is your best option, like trade the pick. It's where I'd be at. A lot of smart people like him. So, you know, we could be dead wrong. But for me, he's an ideas guy. You know, it's like if you've ever dated like a girl who, you know, was pretty hot and you're like, this is going to be great. And then you start dating her and you're like, maybe she's not that interesting, but maybe she will be. Maybe if I keep seeing her, you know, like we'll start getting, it'll be a little deeper, but it's like, she's hot. So like, I'm willing to keep it going. And then like, she's still hot, but it just, she doesn't get any smarter or more interesting.
She doesn't like draft season.
Yeah. So it's like she,
red flag.
And, you know, the idea of her is great.
All right, that's fair. All right, we've talked enough about Leonard Miller. I can't believe the 360 from last year. I'm the one that's backed in the corner here. So,
at Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent, being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, let's move on. So in your all's post-lotto mock draft, Rucker actually took what?
Hold on. I want to sell me this pen.
Oh.
I want.
Okay.
Hold on. So I've never played this game.
it's not a game, but okay.
So one of the guys that I have been championing within my circle is GG Jackson. And I understand GG Jackson has his faults and he has his warts. But he played half the season as a 17-year-old. He's coming into the draft as the youngest player in the draft. Sell me this pen on GG Jackson or break the pen in my face. I don't know, but sell me this pen on GG Jackson.
Do you like someone who takes the absolute worst shots imaginable every time he touches the ball? Then you're gonna love GG Jackson.
Did he have any talent around him?
He's unbelievably talented. He is. Here's the thing. And we have a Kentucky fan on the call right now.
Thanks, man.
How would you like a Kevin Knox?
I mean, don't, because
that hurts.
Because in previous podcasts and years past, you've been like, let's try to get Kevin Knox.
Yeah, kick the tires on him, sure, but not in the first round of the draft.
Now, to be fair, GG has a ton of tools. He's young, right? And that's what everyone is going to sell you on. He is the youngest player in the draft. He played some of the season when he was 17. So, of course, you know who else did that? Amani Bates. And Amani went back to school, and guess what? It didn't get better. Just because he's young doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be on some straightforward upward trajectory. If he had shown like flashes of being a willing passer, right? Then you could be like, okay, this is a guy who isn't going to need the ball in his hands. He's going to be able to make quick decisions. Like OKC's thing, multi-ball handler system, smart, intelligent, high-feel basketball players who will keep the ball moving, cook when it's their time, but like are comfortable playing in a team concept. That is not GG Jackson. GG right now is so far away from that that for a number of reasons, I would be flabbergasted if GG Jackson was on the Thunder's board at all. You can't deny the talent. But again, like how often do these guys who you go, well, if it just clicks, how often do those guys, does it actually click?
Yeah.
It's so rare because there's something innate about being a basketball player.
Yeah.
And I think GG, for as skilled as he is, he just doesn't have that innate jazziness to his game. That you can go with the flow. You could play off others. When somebody's riffing, you know what to do to make them better. Right now, GG can just make GG better. And you could talk about how South Carolina was a bad team context and all of this. Guess what? GG Jackson made that choice to go to South Carolina. It's not like it was his only option. He was the number one ranked player in, you know, the 2023 high school class. So he chose to decommit from Carolina, reclass, go to South Carolina. He could have chosen a better context for him. He could have probably gone almost anywhere. He chose this because he was going to be the guy. And then when he couldn't make the decisions even at this level and he hit a little adversity, you saw how frustrated he got. And that maturity is not something I'm worried about. He's a high school aged kid. High school age kids do dumb things. It's not a black mark on them forever, but it does go to show how far he has to go before it could even kind of click. And I just think it's so far away, and he's just like the most anti Thunder guy ever. It's like, and it would, to me, there's so many guys that will, that could impact winning, that'll be available at that pick, that it would be like choosing Kevin Knox over Mikal Bridges, when it's like the whole time it's obvious that Mikal Bridges is a better player.
Now, you said Corey Cooks whenever he's hyping up Bryce. He was cooking right there.
Thank you for smashing my heart. I appreciate that.
He broke the pen and got ink all over your face. He said, "Want to play again?"
I'm going to go ahead.
I've moved him up the board a slight. My board slightly.
I'm going to go ahead and not add anything to that, just because I think Corey nailed it. But Corey, I did want to ask this, and I know I'm not the host of the show, so I apologize. But Corey and I famously don't really talk about guys that we don't love very often. Corey, we'll call a spade a spade. We try to be fair and cover a lot of guys, but we run out of time. So
yeah, it's
a time issue, but a lot of times we focus on guys that we haven't really covered. Gigi Jackson, Corey and I don't think we've had many conversations about Gigi Jackson. Corey, do you have a comp? Because the more I think about him, there's some guys that come to mind, but do you personally have a comp for Gigi?
What are your comps?
I was thinking like, I was thinking of like, I don't know, Michael Beasley, but like not as productive. I don't know. It's tough, man. Tough. He was so good in college, so that's not a good one, right? I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Tobias Harris, if he was not as like fun to play with.
Extrovert. Okay.
He is a tough one, man. Because it's like,
he's tough.
If you just went through his highlights, you'd be like, oh, this guy's the next Jason Tatum. And then you'd look at his stats and be like, oh, he shot 34% from the field. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, he's kind of unique because he's gigantic. He's got this awesome frame.
Yeah. Great frame.
Rui Hachimura? Maybe Rui? Like, okay. There's a role for him on a team as, like, a complimentary piece. But it's probably going to be on his next team, not the one who drafts him. Like, that's kind of like how I see it playing out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely fair. You guys made Alex mad. He left the podcast. I'm just kidding. He'll be back. But the guy I wanted to talk about is, Rucker actually picked him in your all's post lottery mock. And Albert, I think you said that you actually have him 5 on your board, Jet Howard. Sell me this pen, Jet Howard, man.
Whew, okay. I get it. I'm in the minority. Most people have him, I don't know, teens, early teens, wherever. Mm-hmm. He's just a guy that, you know, when I did his film deep dive, I felt something in my gut. And that's something that I really want to continue to do, where you mentioned it, right? A lot of times, Corey and I, we can go against the grain. We're probably not the most, like, We probably don't agree with the national media all the time with how we feel about players. But Jet Howard is a guy that I watched him play, and I was like, I love his game. I think a good place to start is where he lacks, right? He's not a strong rebounder, although he's like 6'8", 6'9", not a strong rebounder at all in college. Struggled defensively early on. And then later on, like, he struggled with ankle injuries, so that only got worse, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll start there. Clearly, he's got some deficiencies, but as an offensive player, offensive weapon. Number one, he's listed at 6'8", but like when you just look at him on the court, he looks bigger to me. I think his jump shot, he's an absolute sniper, really quick release, a guy that can shoot off movement, a guy that showed off in college that he's got more handle and shake to his game than I think people realized. He was a good passer of the ball as well. They had him running pick and roll and he was making good decisions. A guy who can make tough shots in the mid-range. But for me, just considering how big he is, how flexible he is at that size, the shot-making ability, the passing ability, when I put all that together, I was like, I really think offensively he's going to become a really lethal and versatile weapon one day for a really good NBA team. So considering all that, I put him in my top five and I haven't moved him since. And clearly other guys have moved up and down my board. But with Jet, it really is a conviction thing for me where watching him play even hurt, it made me think like this is a guy that we're just starting to see like the tip of the iceberg in terms of the type of player that he's going to be. And so he's been in my top five and I'm not going to take him out.
I like it. Corey, how do you feel about Jet Howard?
I like Jet. I don't like Jet as much as Albert likes Jet, but like I understand why Albert likes Jet that much because, you know, being a shooter at that size as fluid is a really, really fun weapon to utilize. I think Jet might have some of the five best handles in the entire class. I really think that he's got good playmaking feel. I don't think he's shown a ton of like, you know, operating out of a ball screen and like making like weak side reads as like the you know initiator, but I think when he like comes off pin downs and or comes off like a DHO, he's like perfectly capable of making quick decisions and making really slick pocket passes. Like I think he's a good like high feel guy who can hit shots. I don't think he pressures the rim enough. Maybe some of that was the ankle injuries. Maybe it is him just not really embracing his size and athleticism enough. You know, I think he had four dunks this year, which is like a guy that size, he should have more regardless of, you know, him getting hurt, you know, halfway through the year. The rebounding, I mean, unacceptable. The defense, probably a little bit more bullish on than the general consensus, just because when you're that big, like I think you could be good at times by accident. And what I'll say is I don't know how deep I would go into him if I were a Thunder fan, is what I'll say.
That is fair. Yeah, I was about to say, you know, he's much like Bryce and not George, but yeah, much like Bryce and Leonard Miller, really. You know, he's like a subject of controversy among Thunder fans because he's a guy that I've been, you know, kind of highlighting throughout the year. Like, hey, he's a shooter. Not only is he a shooter, he's a 6'8" shooter. Not only is he a 6'8" shooter, he's a 6'8" shooter. He can do multiple things with the ball in his hands. Like, you know, I love Grady Dick, but on offense, you know, he's a little bit of a one-trick pony in terms of like, you know, self-creation and whatnot. And you know, everybody just wants to keep throwing out. Jet doesn't pass the ball. Jet doesn't defend. And like, that's just their like straw man argument. And that's all they ever say about it. So, yeah, I definitely get it. I had somebody else, but just so this whole podcast isn't sell me this pin. And so we can kind of get to other ranges in the draft. We'll move on and maybe he comes up organically. Alex, did you want to take the next question?
Yes, sure. So, are we looking at the projected hire?
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, so who is someone that's projected higher that you could see fall to the Thunder? So somebody that's in that probably that four to nine range that you could see tumbling down a little bit and the Thunder just, you know, snatching them up.
I feel like this range is so fluid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's like it could be a number of these guys. Like in our mocks, I feel like a lot of times Anthony Black has been the guy who's dropped, but I also think he's a Thunder kind of player, but I think that like the Thunder already have enough of these guys that he doesn't make sense.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like I think there's a good chance that Kaysen is there.
Okay.
But you know, I also don't know if Kaysen is like the ideal guy for this roster. Like, I don't think I think he helps everybody. Like, he'll help any team he's on.
Mm-hmm.
And he does, I think, provide something unique that some of the other Thunder guards don't, in that while he is like a 6'3", 6'4" guy, he's long, competitive defensively, doesn't need the ball in his hand. Like, I think the defensive clamp down potential for like smaller guys, I think he can be somebody who really takes on that role. So it would probably be him. Like, I don't see a Sar or a Men falling that far. I don't see Cam Whitmore falling that far. Maybe a Taylor Hendricks.
That's who I wanted to bring up. Yeah.
And I think if Taylor Hendricks fell, I think that would be a phenomenal get. I also think that people have really been drinking a lot of Taylor Hendricks Kool-Aid in a way that, you know, is like going a little overboard selling his skill set, because, you know, people are living in imagination land with him.
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't have to, because what he offers is already so freaking awesome that, like, you don't have to imagine this other reality that is like tippy top end potential that he hasn't really shown flashes of. It's just like, wouldn't it be cool if he did these things? But he would be a phenomenal, phenomenal fit next to Chet, next to the rest of the roster. Mm-hmm. I think he is like a Thunder type of guy.
He's about the only guy in this draft that's literally plug and play for the Thunder.
Yeah, no, but my biggest thing is,
realistically,
for the Thunder, rather than reaching for Leonard Miller, hope that Hendricks is there and grab him at 12.
Oh, or trade up.
Yeah, make a mistake. And Hendricks is higher on my board.
Taylor Hendricks can really shoot the ball. And you talk about rim protection, he's got it. I think, like Corey said, he's the one that you should be hoping is there at 12 rather than Leonard Miller, because he's a guy that, as you guys have already mentioned, would be plug and play, like straight up for the Thunder. He'd be a great, great fit. He was the guy that I had circled. Yeah.
Heck yeah, man. He's the pipe dream, but, like, you know, as the, like you said, you know, he's kind of been the Taylor Hendricks Kool-Aid has been going around, and it feels like he's going to be drafted a little bit higher up there. I think on your all's my draft, wasn't he? He was like 7, 8, something like that. Am I wrong?
No, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
No, actually, no, he went 10th.
Oh, okay.
I took him for Dallas. Oh, he's definitely Dallas. been in the 7, 8 range on previous mocks that we've done. I think he might be like 7th on our big board. But I do think, like, I think the way that NBA teams approach the draft is different, and not every team is the same. So we'll start there. But, like, I think the way that teams approach the draft sometimes is a little bit different than fans or like independent scouts, in that a lot of times when we're talking about these players, we're talking about like, what does their top end outcome look like? Right. And what does their potential look like? But, like, a lot of teams approach the draft in like, well, what's the median outcome look like? Because that is a much more realistic thing to bet on. It's like, if he reaches that median outcome and you're a top 7 pick, like, you're at least going to be a starting level player, a top 12 pick. Like, you're probably going to be a starting level player if you reach your median outcome a lot of times. And that's what teams bet on more so. Like, not every team is looking to get like a star player who's going to develop this crazy, like, Taylor Hendricks has, again, we love Taylor Hendricks. He's shown no indications that he has ball handling skills or dribble. So, like, for people to be like, well, wouldn't it be fun if he was a 3? It'd be like, it would be fun, but
but he's not.
Highly unlikely.
But, like, if you do that, like, maybe you're, I mean, there, you could hurt his development because you're taking him away from what he does.
He almost reminds me of like the Keegan Murray of this draft. Like, Keegan Murray is probably never going to make an all-star team, but Keegan Murray is going to be a solid pro for 12 to 15 years on a team. That's what I see with Taylor Hendricks. He's never going to make an all-star team, but if he's on that right team, he's going to be like a key cog in that wheel for years to come.
I think there's something to that. I think even Taylor Hendricks, like, if they're an all-star, it's probably one or two-time all-star type thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know,
part of a championship team type thing.
Luol Deng was a two-time all-star. Yeah. You know, and Luol Deng was a great player, boring. Korver would probably have a harder time in this more talented NBA making the all-star team. Yeah. But yeah, that kind of thing where it's like, I do think he could be an all-star, even if he doesn't develop like ball handling skills in this, just because he's going to be a great defender. He's going to be a high volume 3-point shooter, really good around the basket, like touch, like good fadeaway post stuff. We'll see how much that's utilized in the NBA. There's a path for him to be an all-star. But yeah, he's got to be on a really good team, and he's not going to be the best player on it for sure. And it's probably, he's not going to be I don't foresee him being a perennial all-star. I think that bar is just so, so high.
All right, guys. I'm going to audible here real quick because we got about 10-ish minutes before you guys got a heart out. So I'm going to rapid fire through these other ones, try to get through as quick as we can. We've had a lot of fun already hearing Corey rip on GG, so we don't have to do the fun section. So we'll finish with the meat, and then we'll end the pod there. So I do want to throw in an audible to my audible, though. You know, we're talking about players that could fall to us at 12. If I was going to ask you guys, you know, a player that, you know, obviously is above us at 12 that you would want the Thunder to trade up for. And maybe not Jairus Walker. I know that's probably your pick, but, you know, we've heard a lot about Jairus Walker. Is there anybody else kind of in that category that you would like to see the Thunder trade up for? You're muted, Corey.
Honestly, just Hendricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Thunder have so much backcourt talent, so much like wing talent. Like, those are the two guys that, for me personally, at a certain point, like, you do have to build a team. Like, yeah. You can't just build a roster, right? And, like, that was a big mistake of, like, I think the Philadelphia 76ers in their rebuild where, you know, they acquired all these assets is they were just like, yeah, let's get the talent and we'll figure it out later. Like, I don't think when you have guys that are going to be established rotation guys, if you draft another guy at that position, you're just setting that guy up probably to maybe not fail, but not reach their potential because you're not going to give them the opportunities. Jalen Williams is an established part of this core now. Mm-hmm. Chet Holmgren is going to be an established part of the core. SGA, established part of the core. Josh Giddey, established part of the core. So for me, it's like, where can I get the talent that helps maximize and accentuate the strengths of these other guys? And for me, it's got to be in that front court spot.
So Corey, with what you're saying, my idea was a little bit different. I was wondering if you package 35 and 37, move up to maybe somewhere in 18 to 25.
We had 37 and 50 now. Yeah, we had some bad lottery luck.
But if you could package something to move into that 18 to 25 range, I was thinking maybe someone like Derek Lively, James Nnaji, Trace Jackson Davis, Adembona, someone like that, another rim protector, another big guy that you can go ahead and you can have him back up Chet or even pair with Chet, was what I was thinking along the lines of what Corey was saying. I think front court, right, adding someone interesting there would be my target. So maybe if you could trade into that area, right, late first round, whatever, and grab one of those bigs, I think that would be a great way to round up.
I think Lively, I think he's a worthy pick at 12 for the Thunder.
I was thinking that too, to be honest. Wow.
Like, I don't think you would be like, he fits this category of like, who should we trade up for with the 12th pick. But like Albert said, maybe if you use one of the other picks to trade up or just take him at 12, Lively, I think would really be a lot of fun next to Chet outside. Yes. In game makes a lot of sense. High field guy, good passer. The defense between the two would be insane, even if there's not a ton of bulk, but you also have, you know, Jalen Williams to in the front court, who's a little bulkier, who can maybe, you know, do some interesting things. I do think Lively would be a great fit. We love Nnaji. Nnaji's a monster. If you're looking for some bulk, that's, yeah, he's got bulk on bulk. Dude is, I can't believe he's 18 years old. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Okay. Let's kind of go towards the back half of the first and like into the second. You know, I mentioned we had 35 and 50. You know, you touched on a few players that are kind of in that back half of the first round. Who's some other guys? Maybe the Thunder, you know, get stuck with Gillen guard. Maybe they go Keontae George, Case Wall, something like that at the top, and then they're looking for wing depth. You talked about some bigs, but you know, maybe is there any wing depth kind of in that range that you would like for the Thunder?
Sorry, I'm looking at my board right now. 35, 50, okay.
It doesn't have to be there. It could be like, you know, late first, like, you know, again, like package to move up, just, you know, kind of after 12, you know.
Colby Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Rucker's really high on him.
Rucker's high on – look, there. I mean, there's a ton of wings. Colby Jones, Koulibaly is really interesting. Rupert. I think it's going to be a guy that you're going to have to look at and consider maybe anywhere.
Don't have to,
based on the history. Max Lewis, you know, there's a number of wings, but Colby Jones is very much a Oklahoma City Thunder player.
Yeah.
I'm upset Corey went with Colby Jones because he's who I wanted to talk about. You say Rucker's high on Colby Jones. I have him the highest on my board out of anyone on our team. I have him at 15.
I apologize, Albert.
But Rucker has been huge on him all season long too. Colby Jones, as Corey mentioned, is awesome. He's a guy that we've interviewed a couple times already during this cycle. Mm-hmm. A do-it-all wing, can defend. He developed a ton with his outside shooting. I think it's only going to get better. I think he'd be a great option. Another option that I saw live a bunch of times now, Jaime Hawkins Jr. from UCLA. You talk about a cerebral guy, a guy who is really athletic, who's great frame, needs to shoot it better from outside or shoot it more from outside, but I think he's going to be a good shooter, mid-range killer, a good defender. Great option there. Another name that is a Corey favorite. If we're talking about wings, then it doesn't count. But I don't know. I thought of it as like a backup point guard, a guy who can play off ball. One of Corey's absolute favorite guys, Marcus Sasser. But I know you guys are looking at more wings.
Love though, Marcus Sasser.
Yeah. So I'll go Jaime Hawkins and Colby Jones. I think those are two great options.
I think you guys. Yeah, Jaime Hawkins has kind of shot up my board as far as like high second rounder because of what you guys have said recently about him, and he sounds like a Presti player as far as, you know, the way he plays, as far as, you know, being a jack of all trades and, you know, mid-range assassin, but he could step out to the three if given the opportunity. So yeah, he's definitely on my board for 35.
Yeah, and I really like Colby Jones. And another guy I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned him briefly, Maxwell Lewis. I mean, you know, can you explain to him, you know, just a little bit to the listeners? Cause he's not a guy we don't get to talk about very much.
Well, Corey, you can speak on this better than I can in terms of his developmental path. I know he had like a weird one. But the biggest thing with Maxwell Lewis is he can really shoot the ball.
Yeah.
He's got great positional size, great wingspan, good athlete. He improved with his ball handling and playmaking, but he can really, really shoot it. So if you want to take a bet on a wing with prototypical wing size who can really shoot the ball, and you know, I think you guys would be interested in outside shooting, Maxwell Lewis is a really interesting developmental guy. I don't think he's going to be electric from year one, but in year three, we might be talking about something special, someone really special. I currently have him 14th on my board because I really do believe that there is so much to his game that over time will become a really special player. So,
okay. Yeah, I really like Colby Jones, Maxwell Lewis, and like Julian Strother in that range, you know, just like that wing archetype that, you know, can shoot. I like Strother because, you know, he's got the familiarity with Chet too. And I'm of the opinion if you pair college teammates, you know, it leads to success. Shout out Sacramento Kings. All right, let's end it with these two questions. So
next year we're gonna go ahead and pair brothers. We're gonna get Cody Williams next year. So
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Yeah. A little bit of forecasting. Yeah, that's why we're keeping all four of those picks next year, exactly. So we can move up. So, all right. Last two questions. I do this one. I do these two, you know, every year. So based on our current picks, 12, 35, or 37 and 50, what's a fun draft combination for the Thunder for you guys?
Corey, you want to go first? You want?
Yeah. Okay. So 12, I'm going to take Bryce Sensabaugh. At 37, I am going to take I'm going to take Daron Holmes.
Okay.
Out of Dayton. And at 50, I'm going to go with Kevin McCullough from Kansas.
I do like him. I do like him. Didn't you write that he's a star in his role?
Yeah, I wrote a piece
like that
with a clickbait headline titled Kevin McCullough is a star. But really just talking about how amazing he is as a at starring in his role and yep. playing a connecting piece on both sides of the ball. I think he's the best perimeter defender in the entire draft. He's unbelievable. Like his fundamentals, they stuck him on the best player throughout basically his entire college career. He's guarded Paolo, you know, he's guarded Keontae. He every tough assignment in his conference this year, which is, you know, the Big 12's unbelievably difficult conference, and he's been there forever. And just a really intuitive passer, ball handler, ran some point guard. He's a jump shot away. He's a jump shot away, and it needs to be rebuilt. He's a guy I've spent time with. He knows that it needs to be rebuilt, and he's willing. There's no better, as you said, guy to do that than Chip England. Mm-hmm. And because if he becomes a guy who could shoot it, I mean, one, you put him and Lou Dort on the court at the same time and with Chet, and I just unbelievable potential there.
All of it.
Good luck scoring.
Good luck. But if he could shoot 36% from three, like you're talking about a guy who Bruce Brown type potential, you know, that's who I see him as. I see him as a Bruce Brown type of guy.
Okay. What about you, Albert?
Okay. For me, I'm hoping he falls there, but Hendricks at 12 would be phenomenal for you guys.
Yes.
37. I was thinking, now I don't know if he's going to last that long, but once again, fingers crossed, right? James Nnaji. There. Yeah. And then at 50, man, I'm bad at this because I don't think he's going to be there either, but who knows? Jalen Clark, wing from UCLA. Similar to what Corey just said about McCullough, just an absolute dog of a perimeter defender, a guy that we've interviewed before. He's phenomenal on defense. And I think he'd be a great addition to you guys as a wing who improved as an outside shooter, will continue to improve at that, but also like McCullough is not the world's you wouldn't characterize him as a sniper, but a guy that I think is definitely working on that shot, and he showed some improvement this season. So I think that would be really fun for you guys. You bolster that front court and then you add a really, really tough wing defender in Jalen Clark. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, man, shoot, that's some crazy defense adding those three guys to Chet and Dort. So I like it. All right, last question. If I was to ask you guys to give us one bold prediction for the Thunder in this draft, what would it be?
Wow. Ooh,
okay.
I mean, the first step is moving towards the camera.
I have one. Bold prediction. Bold prediction. You don't grab anyone in the first round.
Oh, man. Trading out. Okay.
Yeah. That is spicy hot. That is atomic fire wings.
Like and not trading for picks, but actually trading for a guy. I think you guys are at a point now where you were in the play-in. You guys were competitive all season long. The young talent's coming around. You guys look great. I mean, the future is really, really bright. Why not package some of the surplus of picks into a real guy, into a guy that can contribute now? Not saying that you're going to make a title run or anything like that, but I think this is a nice period in the timeline to add a really strong veteran to what you guys already have. So my bold prediction would be you guys don't actually take anyone with a first round pick.
Do you have any, do you have like a, an idea of maybe somebody?
I mean, no, I don't, yeah. Because the thing is, the thing I hate about the NBA is we don't know who's going to be upset next and who's actually on the trade block. So I don't really have a name for you guys.
It's Julius Randle is who he's thinking.
Oh, God. You like, there's actually some Thunder fans that were wanting him.
You like Gigi Jackson? Go take Julius Randle, what we learned today. But I just really believe, like, timeline-wise, it makes sense for you guys to – because you still will have tons of assets left even if you package your first-round pick. So – is what I'm thinking.
Okay. I like it. What about you, Corey?
My bold prediction is that the Thunder will use the 12th pick and future picks to move up to select Jairus Walker.
Ooh.
All right.
That's fine.
And you, and you've made me happy once again.
I think we have three people that are putting it out into the universe, manifesting the trade up for Jairus Walker thing. So I like it. I like it on our behalf. So, fellas, I appreciate you guys coming on. I appreciate you bearing with me. Sorry, we're a little bit over. It's always a blast having you guys on the podcast. I said it last time. You were my introduction into the No Ceilings space. So, thank you for that. I'm going to let you guys have a chance to plug all your stuff. Corey, go ahead and plug anything you got to plug, man.
You can follow my personal account at Corey Tulliba. You can follow NBA Draft Dude on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and then No Ceilings NBA on all of the things, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, the podcast, No Ceilings NBA podcast, where Albert and I host the Draft Dak podcast on Thursdays, daily show, five different shows every week from the No Ceilings crew. So that's, you could find, you head to NoCeilingsNBA.com. You'll find all the things.
Mm-hmm. You could find me at Alberto Gim on Twitter, is where you could find me. If you're on Instagram, I'm at GTGNBA, is where you can find me. Just want to say really quickly, it's been such an honor and always so fun to be on your pod again. We always are so appreciative of the shout outs, of the invites. We think what you guys are doing is phenomenal as well. Something that Corey always says is that in this space, there's room for everybody. There's always room for all of us to grow. All boats rise with the tide, right? It is what we really, really believe in. And so we really love what you guys are doing. Really thankful for the invite once again and can't wait to be back.
For sure, man.
Respect.
Thank you guys for all the kind words. And I just want to say one more time to the listeners, if you're not subscribed to No Ceilings, do it. 3Fs, free, fun, freaking informative. Got to go do it. I need that merch though, man. This is becoming a gray sweatshirt. Corey, where are we at?
We got a lot of stuff coming in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any Gigi Jackson merchandise?
there are quite a few guys who did make it onto some merch, but Gigi didn't just make the cut.
Just missed the cut.
Made an executive decision.
Yeah. Shout out to Gigi if he wants to stay in college another year and develop his game and get with No Ceilings for an NIL collab.
Hey, there you go. There you go. This is the last thing I want to say, just because whenever Mike Smith went to Blazers last year, one thing that me and a lot of other people worried about was like you didn't get like the in-depth like film review with the prospects. And I just want to give you guys a shout out for keeping that going. That's awesome. Like that's so important for like understanding your prospects and how they like see the game, how they see the floor and understand, their feel for the game. So I appreciate you guys for keeping that up, man.
Hey, it's been an absolute blast. Yeah. I mean, look, for the people who don't know, I worked on that series with Mike for, the last few years. So it felt only right to keep that going as somebody who knew the format, knew the formula, and the cadence and the pacing to it, because it's like you said, I think it was the most valuable draft stuff that was on the internet all of those years. He did such a good job of making those prospects feel comfortable enough to open up to him and talk that stuff out. And you learn a lot, watching these guys break down film. And you can learn like which guys are open to constructive criticism, what guys see the games the right way. It's a really great time. It's a really great time. Check out the last one that we did with Dylan Jones, somebody who's tearing up the NBA combine right now.
Love it. He's got a great name, I gotta tell you. But guys, I'm gonna stop saying I got one more thing. I'm gonna let you guys go. One more time, just appreciate you guys. Keep killing it. Y'all are on such an upward trajectory. I can't even imagine where y'all are gonna end up. So just glad that you let us be a part of that. So I hope everybody has a great night. God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always, guys, thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Yeah, Albert.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.